Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
Except Texas. Matt Brown still sucks.
There's the blitz! Touchdown, Lehman! Touchdown, Oklahoma! Williams got him on the blitz! Lehman on the pick!
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
I hate that guy.
Whoa.
Dave Bartu, we are in the Matrix.
Hey, college football fan, Dave Bartu here, the College Football Matrix. Welcome to another college football season, 2019 version. This will be the 12th season of the College Football Matrix. Actually, not quite that long, but a little bit of background. A lot of you probably heard the story a few times, but for those of you that are new to what I do, essentially it's story by numbers, and I try to simplify everything using numbers, trends, to explain whatever's going on. In this case, college football. It actually started back in 2008. I was working with Wells Fargo on consumer behavior analytics using credit bureaus and other information. As well as using analytics for a very large hospital. The project we were working on then was actually trying to diagnose people over the phone to reduce people that were coming in, but still allow the hospital to charge as a visit, but using analytics to try to predict prescription and ailments to reduce the amount of people in their facilities, but still keep their income high. That was kind of a gross one. Wasn't too thrilled with that outcome or the effort, but those were the things I was working on back in 2008. And I can still remember going down I-5 here in Portland and listening to 1080 The Fan, ESPN radio. And a guy was on there named Colin Cowherd, and he was a local, and I really enjoyed listening to him. And he was talking about how college football, NFL football, but specifically college football, is all about, in Vegas, talent, talent, talent. And this was, so in 2008, recruiting was just kind of, I wouldn't call it mainstream at all, but it was good. It was followed. It was a very strong niche market. And so I started looking at the numbers, and this was also around the same time the Ducks were getting good and people are talking national titles. And I just thought, okay, Colin says it's all about talent. I have these so-called talent numbers. Duck fan wants to be a national championship contender. What does it take to be a national championship contender? So I looked at the last 8 years of recruiting rankings. And at that time, I did a composite. Yeah, 247, you're not the originator of the word composite recruiting. You horked it from me. That was developed 12 years ago, long before you were even born, through Terry, after he had quit the other company. So I started looking at all the numbers, and I found a pattern in there, in that every winner of the national title through 2007 was a top 10 average recruiter in college football. And then I dug into it a little deeper, and all of them had at least one top 10 class. All of them had at least two other top 15 classes. All of them had at least four consecutive top 25 classes. And so I whittled it all down at the beginning of the 2008 season and said, okay, here's the pool. There were nine teams that qualified. National champion that year came out of that pool. Did it again. Came out of that pool. And at that point, I started looking at other things. Okay, can we take this from national championship contention to game by game, team by team, and just looking at recruiting rankings and how it correlated or didn't to winning and losing football games. That worked out well, but there was still plenty of room. That's where I came up with the coach effect variable and the home and road variable. And so when I look at games, when I tell stories about teams and where I think they're going in a particular year, it's three things: talent, location, and coaching, TLC, talent, location, coaching. And so, you know, the national championship profiling is something that I had done every year. And finally, we added some other things to it to try to refine it, because I got bored of the pool being 9, 10, 11 teams and not trying to get a little bit more granularity into it. So one of the things that I'll be going through today is the national championship winner and loser flowchart. And this is something myself and Adam McClintock, a CFB professor on Twitter, has developed with me because he's been really helpful in creating some of the ideas for how we analyze coaches, because this is the public side. On the private side, we do consulting work for coaches and athletic directors on who to hire, who to fire, and specifically in-house on the recruiting side, trying to target the best guys before letter of intent day. So there's two sides to it. Obviously, you're seeing the public side here. And so everything I do, I'm trying to predict something. I'm trying to predict behavior, but using the simplest amount of information possible, the least amount of information possible, so that it's explainable. Because everybody out there has an opinion as to why they do this or why they do that. But I like having an opinion that I can say, here's exactly why I'm telling this story. Here's exactly why I'm willing to say Alabama last year was not going to win the national title. Preseason. So it's things like that, and always trying to think outside the box. So there's a lot that I do that is new. There's a lot that I do that isn't new for me, but has become a standard in the industry. Most of the stuff that revolves now, the narrative with recruiting, came out 10, 8, 6 years ago, just off of the work that I'd been doing. So constantly trying to improve, constantly trying to find an edge. Whether it's for head coaches, whether it's for athletic directors, or in this case, we're trying to find edges betting football games quite often. Overs, unders, spreads, straight up, you name it. If we can find an edge and make college football more fun, because that's why a lot of people bet, is to make the games a lot more interesting, well, then we're going to try and do that. So let's get started with the national championship winner and loser flowchart for 2019. Now, you'll see as a Patreon member, if you are one, there's an attachment to this article, and it is the PDF of the flowchart. So you can follow through it with me. And also attached to the flowchart is the rankings coming into the season of all the teams, their four-year composite recruiting ranking, at least as I've seen it. Now, I've never used ESPN because I don't believe that they really even give a crap about quality of their recruiting rankings, and they only focus on the top 25 anyway, so they're worthless. Scout now is worthless. Scout and 247 are all owned by CBS. Scout stuff is exactly the same as 247, so if you're using any sort of algorithm trying to compile everything out there, you're counting Scout and 247, you're double counting it. It's weighted in the wrong direction. So right now, I use Rivals and 247. In the past, I'd use Rivals and Scout, and while they were in transition, I had used all three. But that's it. And that's as simple as it comes. Rather than trying to develop some sort of algorithm that nobody can understand or explain, that's where my information comes from. The spreadsheet that you're going to be looking at that you can download, exactly the same as the spreadsheet I'm looking at. Now, there are some tweaks to it. For those of you Patreon members that are higher level of subscription, there's more pages, there's graphs, there's charts for you to be able to pull up individual teams and see which way they're going. So let's start with this flow chart right now. And this is a new one. This has actually probably been a standard from the first one, but I like making fun of the playoff committee because every year Hancock comes out as the chairman of the playoff committee and says, blah, 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 G5, blah, blah, has a path, blah, blah, bullshit. Okay? UCF, 2 years ago, number 3 scoring offense in all of college football, undefeated. They didn't get in. They weren't even close. And it shouldn't be a surprise. They didn't have enough top 25 wins. They didn't have enough quality wins. And they're not a Power 5 program. This is not an FBS playoff system. It is a Power 5 playoff system. The G5s need to go make their own damn playoff. Because the best they're ever going to get is one number 8 seed wildcard spot. Probably deservingly so. But that's the way it is right now. So the first question on the flowchart, are you a P5 team? If the answer is yes, you go down to the next one. If the answer is no, you're out of contention. Don't care what you think of that. That's just the way it is. And I don't ever foresee a G5 getting in under any circumstance. Maybe BYU, but they'd have to be incredibly, incredibly lucky in playing 4 Power 5 teams in September that were all top 25 teams at the end of the season. Really tough to do that. So, the goal of the flowchart is trying to narrow it down to national championship contenders, but a lot of people talk playoffs, and, you know, it's a much broader spectrum of teams that could be a playoff contender. But what do we do know? We do know that everybody that has made the playoffs in the current system was a top 4 recruiter in their division to start the year. The lowest of that was Michigan State, behind Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. Everybody else has, I believe, been a top 1 or 2 recruiter in their division since the playoffs have started. So it's really tough to get in. And for those of you that are like, oh, recruiting isn't that big of a deal, look, go back 10 years. The number 1 recruiters in all the Power 5 conferences have the most wins. You know who's second? The number 2 recruiters. Third, the number 3 recruiters. Fourth best total, the number 4 recruiters. Fifth best total, okay, I don't need to keep going over and over with this. It's not perfect, but it is the biggest correlation between winning and losing. So, the next part, when you move down, so if you're a top 4 composite recruiter in your division, you are a playoff contender. Yay. But we're really looking for a national championship contender, and those teams aren't it. Were you top 25, and this is a new one, were you top 25 in CFB Matrix total team scoring efficiency in 2018? That chart is on the article as well. If you weren't top 25, every team that has won the national championship this century, all 19 of them, 2000 through 2018, all of them ended the previous season in the top 25 of my total team scoring efficiency. So what it tells me is you have to be good last year to be great the next year. Teams that are bad can't take a national championship bounce. They may take a playoff bounce, but they're just not going to be good enough to get to the top. And every single one of your national championship winners at the end of the regular season is top 3 in offensive and or defensive scoring efficiency. You have to be super elite to win a national title. You have to be very good the year before. So, if you weren't in the top 25, look at the list. Wipe those teams out. The next one, 4 straight top 25 classes. Now, a lot of these teams that were top 25 in total scoring efficiency aren't top 25, consistent top 25 recruiters. So, it's been that way the entire time, including Clemson, which is the biggest outlier in college football this century. Them winning as not a top 10 recruiter coming into the season is the biggest outlier, and they were top 15. So you still have to be really solid in recruiting to even have a shot at a national title. So let's pause right here on the spreadsheet or the flow chart and see where we're at. So, top 4 recruiter in division, P5 teams, top 25 in total team scoring efficiency in 2018. Well, that would be Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame, Georgia, Penn State, Michigan, Mississippi State was, but they're not even a top 4 recruiter in their division, so they're gone. West Virginia, yep, they're top 25, but not even a top, they're number 7. In their conference in recruiting. They're gone. Washington State, number 4 in their division, maybe 5. They're gone. Florida is still in it. Washington, definitely top 4 recruiter in their division and still in it. Miami, Utah. Actually, Utah is top 25 in scoring efficiency and number 3 in their division now in recruiting, bumping ahead of Arizona State this year. Wisconsin, top 3 in their division, top 4 in their division, and a top 25 in scoring efficiency last year. And Auburn. Now, 4 straight composite top 25 classes. Like I said, Mississippi State's out, West Virginia's out, Washington State's out, Washington is out, Utah is out, and Wisconsin is out. So we have a few more steps to break this down, but right now, just through the first 4, P5 team, top 4 recruiter in your division, top 25 in scoring efficiency last year, 4 straight top 25 classes, Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame, Georgia, Penn State, Michigan, Florida, Miami, and Auburn. That's it. So, next part of the audio, we'll come back and wrap this up and work it down to the number 1 tier. These are your teams that have won 18 of the last 20 national titles. Your 2-tier teams, which have won 1 out of 20, and your 3-tier teams, your lower-end recruiters that have won 1 out of 20 national titles. And those will be our 3 betting pools for focus this year. In part 2 of the podcast, I will continue the breakdown of the flowchart in our march toward the top 3 tiers of playoff contenders inside the CFB Matrix for 2019. This is Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. Thank you for joining me.